said, take a load off Fanny, take a load for free, take a load off Fanny, and you put the load right on me.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the Brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The Brothers Anderson are, this is Eric.
And by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
This is Brother Jay.
You ask me if I have a God complex. Let me tell you something. I am God.
This is true.
There is a storm coming like nothing you have ever seen. And not a one of you is prepared for it.
So sit back, close your eyes, and let us take you away. Unless you're driving, in which case keep your eyes open and watch the road and, you know, anyway. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is Brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, the second of the New Apes series.
Yeah, we are.
Again? As for all Apes movies, we're going to blame boyfriend Jesse.
Or give him credit.
So, Brother Jay, we rushed this into production, or we bumped this ahead in the calendar because we all really liked Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
So, introduce us to Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Had you seen this before, and did you...
Nope. Okay. I'd never seen it before.
What did you think about it this time?
Or, I mean... This time? What did I think upon a first watch?
Yes.
I actually really liked this movie. It had some problems. There were some issues, but I enjoyed watching this movie, and I think it was better than the previous movie. And maybe I'm downtrodden and my spirit's broken from having watched the original movies and the bar is set really low, but I don't think so. I think this was an excellent movie.
Brother Drew, you'd seen this before, right?
Yes. I love this movie. I had seen Rise of the Planet of the Apes, so as soon as this one came out on video, I got it, and I watched it, and I was so blown away, I immediately watched it again, because I couldn't really comprehend what I just saw. Like, visually, this movie is amazing. I mean, from the opening shot to the closing shot, I could not believe how good the visual effects were. And I think it has a good plot that sort of advances the overall mythology forward. Again, in a very smart, measured way, like the last movie. So it's taking this really fantastical notion, I think, and putting a relatively realistic spin on it. And I think this movie gave us what we had been kind of talking around all the other movies, that we wanted more of a glimpse into the world building associated with the ape culture. And I think we got that. I mean, we had antagonists and protagonists, but I think everybody had a point of view that was well represented in this movie, except for maybe Gary Oldman. Yeah, but the whole Caesar Coba stuff, I really enjoyed. Thought it was really well done.
If the first movie was a more clever remake of Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, this was definitely a way more clever remake of Battle for the Planet of the Apes. Except without Claude Akins.
Well, and it had some parts of Beneath as well.
Yeah.
It took some really good elements from a lot of the history, if you will, and wove it into a pretty coherent, cohesive origin.
And the characters weren't, I mean, at least the factions weren't so cartoonish. Because I like the fact that, generally, the humans weren't bad guys.
Right.
The humans were just doing what they had to do to survive.
Yeah, there's just one Alvarez from Oz who's kind of a dick.
Well, there are a couple, yeah. I mean, you know, again, there's issues on both sides. But yeah, I thought it was enough of the humans just to give you a taste of kind of what's going on, but it recognizes that you don't actually care too much about what's happening with the humans. They're not the important part of the story.
All right.
Yeah, this isn't the dawn of the Planet of the Humans. Before I lavish praise on it, I did have two things about this movie that kind of drove me crazy. I'll see if you guys agree. One was, I thought Gary Oldman was doing his Christopher Walken impression.
Sure.
And two, you could definitely tell this movie was shot in 3D. Because of the way a lot of the action was staged so that it was coming right at you. And I found that distracting.
That's funny. I didn't even notice it.
As soon as I saw stuff coming straight to the screen, I'm like, oh no, this is a 3D movie. Granted, the rest of it was such a feast for the eyes that it was just a tiny little thing. But other than that,
the CGI in this was amazing.
Oh, it was incredible.
I didn't notice the 3D thing, and I love Gary Oldman, so I didn't, again, Gary Oldman's Gary Oldman, so, you know, he could have read a phone book and I'd have been fine.
I was expecting him to be more over the top.
Like a Romeo is Bleeding over the top?
Yeah, or even like a Leon over the top.
Yeah.
Zorg.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot about Zorg.
He's not very memorable in this movie, so I think that's why I'd forgotten that for Gary Oldman, this is a relatively understated performance.
I was going to say, he's pretty understated in this role, at least from my view.
Well, he's not a bad guy.
Yeah, he's not the cartoonish villain that he could have been.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's not a good guy. He's not an evil guy, but I don't know. I wouldn't go as far as saying he wasn't a bad guy.
I don't know. I don't think there's anything bad about him. I mean, he was just doing what he had to do. In fact, if anything, he was just trying to keep his people together.
Yeah.
I mean, they were attacked. Attacked by the apes who were throwing barrels at them in 3D.
But he had no interest in trying to make peace in the beginning when he should have. If you're facing a threat and you are also facing extinction, adaptability is the name of the game. So opening the possibility of expanding peace and prosperity as opposed to war, which is I think the not so hidden meaning, not so subtle meaning in this movie.
Yeah, I mean he was flawed. He did not recognize that the apes were another culture that could be reasoned and negotiated with. He wasn't willing to entertain that notion.
He wasn't willing to engage that premise at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that made him, like, evil.
No. But it made him a bad leader. Arrogant. That arrogance factor.
Yeah.
I don't know, if a bunch of foxes came up and stood on hind legs and were like, wah pow 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 pow, wah pow 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 pow, I'd be like, shoot them. I would not be like, let's negotiate with what the foxes say. I mean, these are animals. They're not in the same level as we are as humans.
So you think. That's the problem.
Yeah, well, exactly.
He couldn't conceive that they had evolved through artificial means.
Well, exactly. Well, but even, yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, it didn't seem like a villainous turn. I mean, he's definitely flawed, but I don't see him as being the bad guy.
I'm not saying he's villainous. I'm just saying he's bad. He's a bad leader.
No, okay, well.
His strategy was bad. His leadership was poor. He didn't engage the possibilities of alternatives. And perhaps that he might be wrong, and good leaders have to question that they might be wrong so that they can possibly plot different courses of action in case things go sideways, as often in life they tend to. You have to be nimble.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely...
He got information from his crew that the enemy was not what he thought they were. At that point, it should have been, I need to reconsider my position. Perhaps my approach has been wrong.
Maybe. Heavy is the head, right?
Yeah.
Well, and also, I mean, he should have just put in a cap of the ass of Zero Dark 30 guy.
Who's Zero Dark 30 guy?
That's Malcolm. Yeah. Malcolm just disappears, and all of a sudden you just give him free access to your guns? No. I guess hindsight also, 2020.
Yeah, but even like the main antagonist, Koba, who was probably the most villainous one in the movie, it's hard to argue with his reasoning. I thought his human work speech was pretty affecting.
It's pretty compelling evidence.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, everybody's got a true motivation, which is awesome. I mean, again, it's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, Koba has his motivation, and Caesar has his motivation, and we have...
Everybody has some skin in this fight.
Yeah, and we have the growth of characters. You know, we have the blue-eyed guy, or what was his name? Blue Eyes was his name?
Blue Eyes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have his growth as a character. We've got, Maurice, the orangutan?
Yeah, Maurice is still around.
Yeah, his
group. Even Rocket had a part to play.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm invested in the story. I can't wait for the next one.
I was waiting for the cheesy ending where Cornelia talked. Or whatever her name was, his wife.
Yeah.
I was waiting for her to bust out some speech, but...
Yeah, no, this was surprisingly... Every time I thought it was getting a little cheesy, it took a more dramatic turn.
The only point in this movie where I actually, well, I won't say the only, but the biggest point in this movie at which I thought that is utter bullshit, the CGI bear, that was just not, I didn't buy that.
It was a little rough.
Look right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of CGI stuff in this movie.
Was that must have been a 3D moment, right?
Yeah.
Was probably. Koba jumped directly at the screen?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. With the spear out?
Yep.
I can see it now that you've identified
well,
that.
Well, like, and when they threw the barrel at the end, that was definitely a 3D moment. Just, if you're looking for it, sadly, I think that's what happened, is I noticed it. I'm like, oh, no. But, again, I loved it. I thought this movie was great.
Well, luckily or unluckily for you, they have discontinued most of the 3D stuff, so...
Yeah. Well, that makes sense, because it doesn't add anything. I mean, they were this close... You can't see, because it's an audio forum we're having up here, but they were this close to having one of the apes take one of those paddles with a ball at the end of it and go doing right at the screen.
It wasn't that bad. Neither Jason nor I noticed.
Yeah. Yeah, I had no idea. It never occurred to me.
When you watch it again, and I suggest that you do.
I will. I'm sure that I did not get the full depth and breadth of this movie because it was a lot to take in on a first watch.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful movie.
It was. There was a lot going on. It was very atmospheric. It had a very good feel. The color palette was amazing. The sets were amazing. They made it look futuristically apocalyptic. I had a couple problems here and there, but you know, for the most part, this is a pretty solid movie. I'm surprised I hadn't seen it.
Even just the statement of confidence to open up with a close-up shot of Caesar's CGI face, like zooming all the way in on his eyes. It's a really great effect.
Oh, yeah.
Closing with that same shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty ballsy. Like, this isn't real, but it's going to be awesome.
Well, and I think the original idea was that they were going to start off further in the future, and Caesar was going to be a less important element in it, and it would have advanced their language a lot more. But I like the fact that they kind of kept it fairly close to the first movie. So Caesar's still like the main character.
Yeah, and Yeah, Andy Serkis is such a great job. Caesar looked way more like Andy Serkis in this movie than he did in the last one.
Well, and I don't know if you watched the extra stuff.
I did. I watched the cut features or whatever they're called, the deleted scenes.
Did you? Oh, I didn't watch the deleted scenes. Did you watch the Andy Serkis interview?
No. Huh.
So the producer and director both said that they realized very quickly after the first movie how much Andy Serkis had made Caesar, because they started in the writing of this movie and the directions, they realized that they could not figure out how to direct and stage him properly. But he had gotten so good that they were actually just giving him they were giving him pseudo directions, and he was able to just complete and just absolutely sink the ball. So he was able to just, you know, tie everything up in his ability because of his growth into the part. So they couldn't figure out how to write things or script things, and he was just able to do it. So they gave him a lot of credit for his abilities. So,
well, okay. So Andy Serkis doing motion capture to the movies that he has, because he's done quite a bit now. $5.5 billion his movies have made. The movies that he did motion capture in.
I believe it. Yeah, he's compelling. He is. I mean, clearly the technology, he and the technology, but, you know, it's not just him either. I mean, there were the whole cast.
Oh, yeah.
There was a whole cast of people.
Ton of people. And you're right. I mean, Drew, I noticed this time watching the other actors react off of the motion captured characters. Because, yeah, that takes a certain amount of skill.
And Carrie Russell said she was really worried when they approached her for the role. She said, how is this going to work? How am I going to talk to a guy with dots on his face and a camera over his mouth and these weird outfits? How am I going to, you know, it's going to be hard for me as an actor to kind of put myself there. But she said, funny as it may seem, within 3 or 4 minutes of being on set with Andy, it just became normal. Because of his ability to just be the role, that he had enough of the mannerisms and the facial expressions that were compelling through just his human expressions, that she said, I immediately got lost in it, had no problem. So they credit him with making this movie, which is a high praise.
Oh, yeah.
Well-deserved, I suspect.
Yeah, why didn't he win an Academy Award for this movie?
They don't have a category.
Yeah.
Best actor.
Not yet.
Why hasn't any of these apes movies won an Academy Award for visual effects?
Yeah, exactly. Seems ridiculous. I say shenanigans. Time's up, Oscars.
That's a different thing.
Okay. Inclusion writer. No, in the next apes movie or something. Yeah.
There you go.
Maybe not. Yeah, so I don't know. This may be a very short episode because I am quite willing to yada yada and tell people to watch this movie.
Well, I mean, we can go through the basics of the plot because I think it's pretty interesting.
Well, the opening, I thought the opening was
the opening credits.
The opening scene where they were giving the exposition of what has happened in between the last movie and this movie.
I love
the
that plague. That was great. Yeah,
I thought so too.
It was perfect.
But they clearly identified that ALZ-113 was the Alzheimer's drug. They said it in this right up front. The ratio of survival was 1 in 500.
Yeah.
So,
and I love the fact that they were able to do that all within a credit scene, like between the end credits of the last movie and the beginning credits of this movie, most everybody dies.
Yeah. It was, like I said, they really set up their apocalypse.
Yeah. And by the way, when we got to things like the elk or whatever, and the bear, you know, they did motion capture on the deer. Like they set up deer with motion capture balls on them.
Wow.
Is that so they could like trip them and stuff?
Yeah, I don't exactly. I don't know exactly what they, you know, how, whatever. The bear was almost completely 3D, but yeah, they actually motion captured set up like deer.
The bear looked funny to me. He didn't look realistic, and maybe that's because they were 3D-ing him up. I was worried at the scene when they were setting up the deer run, because it was very 2001 monolithic music-y
and set up,
and I was really worried that you were just going to go off the deep end.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I was going to throw a bone into the sky and he turned into a spaceship.
I wrote, uh-oh, it's monolithic. We're in trouble already.
Yeah, I'll try and dig up the article I read. I don't remember if it was for Dawn or War of the Planet of the Apes, but I think the care that Matt Reeves took to craft the movie, he talked about how they had to shoot every single scene 3 different times to get all the coverage. So I don't know if they did it one time with just like Andy Serkis without stuff, interacting with other actors, and then one time with all his gear on, and another time maybe without him, just to get like the background.
Yeah, well, okay, why did the first director why wasn't he hired for the second movie?
I don't know.
Because James Franco didn't want to be in this movie because of that. In fact, he was surprised to find out that he had a cameo in it. He actually, during an interview, he's like, wait, I'm in the movie? Nobody ever asked me if they could do that.
Probably didn't have to.
Yeah, well, probably not. But yeah, when Matt Reeves came in, he, and as far as I know, like, what had he done before? Cloverfield, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, he actually like pretty much rewrote the whole thing. So it's very impressive. But, and they let him because he agreed he could rewrite it and they could still film their shooting schedule. Cause they had a pretty tight shooting schedule, I think. Because I'm sure behind the scenes, it took a long time to do all the animation.
Well, the post-production. Yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah. And I didn't clock it. It'd be interesting to go back and actually do a timestamp of how long it takes to see an actual human.
Oh, it's a long time.
They spent a lot of time with the apes.
Yeah. So it starts out with Caesar, and they're in the Muir Woods, and we find out fairly quickly that it's 10 years after the original movie, and they've got their little society set up. And they do a lot of stuff, like in the beginning, the whole scene with the bear, where they're, now we have kids, so we have Caesar's got a kid, and Rocket's got a kid, and they are actually out. I can't remember what exactly they were doing, but then when they encountered the bear,
they were hunting.
Yeah. And then
hunting the elk.
Oh, the elk. Yes. And, so Caesar's son, Blue Eyes, gets clawed by the bear pretty bad. And Koba saves his life. Actually saves them both, really. So right there, we have this whole establishment of, like bond between Caesar and Koba, even though things are going to go poorly. And, you know, we remember in the first movie that Koba was roundly mistreated by humans.
Yes.
He has reasons to not like humans. So again, it works. You know, he's not pure evil either. He just has issues.
He has different life experiences than Caesar.
Yeah. And we have Cornelia, who is Caesar's, his mate.
Do they ever say her name in this movie?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
They said it in the first movie, but they didn't say it in this movie. But she is giving birth to a little baby ape, which, by the way, is a beautiful scene. Although it's clear that she is sick.
This movie was shot in 91 days.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm reading through the trivia. The photographs of Gary Oldman's character's children are his children in real life.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of really good things about this movie. I mean, I'm a big fan, as it turns out.
The noise of the iPad being powered back on made me look around my living room.
Oh, me too. I was like, yep. What? Why? Yeah, that was great.
I cannot imagine that in a movie theater. People like instantly getting tense, like, what the?
Exactly. People like looking at the askance at their neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we have like a little sort of, it's dismissive to refer to it as like an Ewok village. They actually did have a deleted scene where they had a little ceremony after the birth of the sun. And there was like ceremonial music and dancing or whatever, and they decided that wasn't necessary. So they just cut right to Caesar and Maurice kind of musing about how long it's been.
Yeah. No, I like that the apes are pretty pragmatic.
Yeah.
And I like the little touches, like how all of the lower branches have been worn away on the trees. But long enough ago that they're sort of moss covered already. Yeah, that was just a nice little touch. And the really interesting aesthetics of like Caesar's apartment with all the spikes and the circular pattern going up.
Oh yeah.
Cause we learned from the first movie, Caesar likes his patterns.
Well, he carved his window pane in the rock that he sits on.
Which is a beautiful thing. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it becomes a symbol.
Yeah.
Yep. Of La Resistance.
Exactly.
But where is the clitoris?
God is a bastard. So,
yes, wow. That speech was a little over the top by Koba.
Yeah, I think so.
Koba bears the name that Joseph Stalin used as a nickname.
Yeah. And we have, you know, Blue Eyes, who is the older son, the eldest son of Caesar, who is having his little, teenage rebellion period. And Koba's kind of working that to his advantage. But they stumble across some humans in the woods. And the first human they stumble across is the guy from the 12 Monkeys TV series. Also Oz and Fringe.
Yep.
Yeah. And he shoots Ash.
Just wings him.
Yeah. All the apes come. It's all very dramatic. And we meet Jason Clark, who is from Zero Dark Thirty and Terminator Genesis. He's my...
I forgot that.
Fourth favorite John Connor.
Wait, name the other three.
Let's see. You're right, because the other one's not John. The other one's his brother, right? Brian Greene is not John Connor. He's somebody else.
It's Derek Reese.
Derek Reese. Oh, I forgot. Okay, yeah, see him? No. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway.
Hey, I'm lucky I watched these movies in the right order. Are you kidding?
Exactly, yeah. Anyway, and I always think Jason Clark reminds me of a guy that used to juggle for the Moors Village in the Renaissance Fair, who always looked like he was wearing a little bit of eyeshadow.
Bob.
There you go. Is that really his name?
I think he introduced himself as Robert, and we all called him Bob behind his back because the way he said Robert was so pretentious. Or maybe that was just me. I'm an asshole.
Andrew.
Actually, it's sadly, it sounds like us. We're all assholes. So.
Thanks for lumping me in with your exploits.
Well,
definitely.
You weren't a part of this assholery, but anyway, yeah. So we have this confrontation between the humans and the apes, and you know, Caesar has an evolution during the evolution's not a good word. He has sort of a character arc in this movie too, where he isn't happy to see the humans either. From the very beginning, you realize, you know, from the last movie, Caesar's a very serious character. You know, when he tells James Franco to beat feet out of the woods, he's not kidding around.
No, but he, you know, of all of the other apes, he was the one that had the most positive experiences with humans. Didn't end well, but,
yeah.
You know, he grew up in a loving home.
Yeah. But he had to find his own. He had to become an adult himself after the in the yes. first movie. So, yeah. So now he's a leader of apes and an adult. So, they let the humans go, but they order Koba to go follow the humans. And that's when we discover what's going on in San Francisco. And where we meet Gary Oldman, who plays Dreyfus with the Christopher Walken accent. And I will drop that accent in right here. Garen Cockrell, award-winning author and part of the Never Not Funny podcast, had a funny joke during the Oscars. He suggested that Christopher Walken knew who killed Natalie Wood, but unfortunately he inscribed it on a watch. Which I think is a pretty funny piece of business.
I laughed.
Anyway, so, yeah. So the humans,
guinea pig.
The humans, their goal is to turn on this hydroelectric plant. And I'm not a hydroelectrical engineer, but seems like a bigger outing than it would take five people to do. But oh well, we're gonna give this to them.
Oh, but five people, but only one of them is a subject matter expert, and but he knows everything.
Yeah, he also has an attitude problem.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I wanted to shoot him immediately.
That was his role.
I was hoping that he died quickly, painfully.
He did.
So,
not quickly.
Yeah. So we, and at this point, the apes are riding horses. We're not getting them firing guns quite yet.
Yeah, but so that was the first conflict, was when Koba came back from following the humans and saw that they were all in a compound. He wanted to attack and show them who's boss. And Caesar decided for a more passive show of strength, which was very impressive.
I was going to say, it was very impressive. Yeah.
Especially since it was the first time humans heard the apes talk, which had to have been terrifying.
Well, exactly. That's why I was suggesting that maybe Dreyfus, his first reaction was not to negotiate, because seeing, you know, like that'd be like, again, if you just saw like a horse like walk up to you and start a conversation with you, you'd probably be checking yourself into some sort of hospital. I could be wrong. Anyway, so we have this thing where the humans want the hydroelectric turned back on. And the apes would just prefer the humans go away.
Yeah, but the humans are desperate because they're running everything on diesel, which they're running out of within weeks, if not days.
Yeah, and they are not capable of living, apparently, without all of the electric and whatnot.
Accoutrement?
Yeah.
the character makes the point that that's the what makes the apes better than the humans is that they don't need any of what the humans need to survive.
Well, and that's another clever thing about being 10 years later is because, you know, they've watched their society crumble and they're just trying to keep a hold of it. They're not making any big ambitious plans at this point. They just want to keep shit together, which I think has like a hint of realism sort of. And the apes just want to be left alone. They're doing fine.
Yeah.
But this is one of the problems I had, that their whole sole plan was to get electricity so they could call for help because they thought that was the answer to their dilemma. But that's pretty faulty logic. That's pinning your hopes on a very, very narrow thread.
Well, that was one of the things they wanted to do with the power. They also needed power just to live.
So Malcolm is going to go back into the woods anyway and see if he can negotiate, because Malcolm is the one who's doing negotiating. So he goes out there, and he and Carrie Russell, who's his doctor, nurse, some sort of medical training person, also his mate.
She used to work at the CDC.
Oh, there you go. Yes. In the synopsis, it calls her a nurse, but I don't know. That seems a little bit less... not that nurses aren't important, but it seems like a little bit trivial to what she actually brought to the table, I think.
Turns out she was a Russian agent.
Spoiler.
Nice.
So...
Wait, sorry. Quick tangent. Are you caught up on the Americans?
Mm-mm. Okay. No, I had to step back somewhere. I think we're in the fifth season. I'm not sure. I had to stop. It got so dark. It got so tough to watch that I had to step away from it for a while. It's good. I mean, I think it's absolutely worth watching, but it got just so difficult to watch because I was finding that, as much as I enjoy it, it was making me tense, which is the mark of good, you know, any good television or movie or program. But it was making me tense enough that it was distracting me from enjoying the story. So I stopped for now. So
it's funny, we had an almost identical experience. We had to stop with like 5 episodes ago in the 5th season. We took a break, and then we just recently watched the rest of it, and it's so good.
Is it done?
No, the final season is starting on TV here in a month.
Damn it.
Did you see the poster for Dexter Season 9?
No, that's not real, right?
I don't know. Probably not.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Now I'm going to have to look it up. Yeah.
Stop. Sorry for the tangent.
No, that's fine.
Malcolm heads back.
Yeah, no, Malcolm heads back, and he discusses a little deal with Caesar. They can go in and do their little thing, but you know, like no guns, no big deal. Just
so I hate to interrupt and burst your bubble, but I will anyway. The poster is fake. Okay. So
yeah, and this leads to one of the first conflicts between Caesar and Koba, and they both have good points. Caesar is insightful enough to realize that the humans are desperate, and if they just outright refuse, they will likely mount an attack. And Koba doesn't necessarily stipulate that point, but he does recognize that the humans are a threat, that and he thinks they need to be put down. But and Caesar is not willing to sacrifice ape lives.
Exactly. Plus, like, it would be fundamentally wrong just to do a preemptive strike on unarmed, you know, non-aggressive humans.
Well, Caesar is very much a pacifist.
Kind of.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
He doesn't want the guns. He throws the guns away. He destroys the guns rather than hoarding the guns. that he might use later. He doesn't want him. He destroys him. Oh, yeah. Tosses one, you know. And
we learn right away from the shotgun thing that he's certainly capable of knowing what how to work the gun.
Yeah. I think he's more of a pragmatist. He knows the guns are really dangerous and doesn't want them around.
Yeah, especially with hotheads like Cobra running around.
Yeah. And Alvarez or whatever his name was.
Yeah, well, okay, and I really liked... at first I thought, oh no, this is going to be cheesy, but I thought it really worked when you first meet the apes in the woods and they've got like that, like the skeleton war paint on. It's really awesome.
I was worried about that because I thought, oh no, this is going to be that. I thought, initially I thought, oh God, it's Braveheart. So...
Well, a little bit, and I was also a little bit worried when, like, the lady apes had, like, the head covering stuff. But it worked. As it turns out, they pulled it off. There was a, during the ceremony, though, there was, like, an ape that had, like, a, kind of like a big, kind of like Beyonce afro. And that kind of threw me a little bit, so I'm glad they didn't include that.
Yeah, I thought the most egregious thing was the doctor's masks.
Yeah. Were they really doctor's masks or was it just decoration to be for medical people to denote their hierarchy?
See, I just thought that was ladies.
I thought it was decoration meant to mimic doctor's masks.
Okay. See, I didn't even get that. I saw more like head covering stuff.
That's because you didn't see it in 3D.
Yeah, well.
No, the ladies had just like the kind of little crowns, right?
Mm-hmm. But so there were guys with the little doctor's mask things on?
The little with the pins on their face?
Huh. Yeah. I wasn't flipping them over to check.
That's what I assumed.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay. Well, I was too worried about bobbing and weaving and keeping it from getting stuck in the eye. Anyway, so we have the confrontation in the woods with the camp.
Yeah, and while they're up at the dam trying to get it to work, Dreyfus is back. Preparing for war. He sends some guys to the armory to get the weapons ready. He's worried.
Yeah, that's the only play the humans really have.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so, I mean, Koba's right.
Everybody's right. Yeah. That's what I love about this story. Everybody's right.
And what did you think about Koba's defusing the situation with the guys with the guns?
With the comedic relief?
Yeah.
I was worried about it when I first saw it.
I thought, too.
Oh, no. This is where we get the womp womp.
Yeah.
But it had such a great payoff.
Oh, yeah. No, it did. Great. Yeah.
Yeah, and it shows what a tactician Koba is.
Yes.
He's not a dummy.
Oh, no.
He was playing the long game.
Yeah, and that's what... He was sort of the Aldo analog in this movie, right?
Yes.
But they did so much more with his character than they did with Aldo, who was, again, just like a cartoonish buffoon who hated humans just to hate humans.
Oh, yeah.
Koba had reasons. He had history. He had good, sound reasoning. And he was smart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he takes a villainous turn at the end, but...
Dare say he was a little Hitler-esque.
Yeah, well, a little Brutus... Little
dictatory.
Oh no, definitely, yeah.
You know, murders his own offspring.
Was it his offspring?
No, that was Rocket's. That was
Rocket's kid.
Oh, Rocket's it was Rocket's, son. Sorry. Yeah. I got confused.
Yeah, that was Ash, right?
Right.
Yeah. Ash had a bad time in this movie.
He sure did.
Yeah.
And he was like such a chill dude.
Yeah.
He never did anything.
No. He wasn't even whiny like Blue Eyes.
Nope.
Let's see. Okay, so we have finding the gun, which causes the big confrontation, and Caesar is done with these humans. But turns out Malcolm goes up, because Malcolm is not turned away. He's pretty persistent in this movie. In a way that you think it's going to get him killed, if you didn't know he was a main character. Because he keeps pushing against Caesar. Caesar doesn't seem to be somebody you want to push too hard against. But luckily, they have an angle, because Kerry Russell can fix a sick mama ape.
Mm-hmm.
At least, hopefully. It's kind of a big gamble.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, uh-oh, if she dies, man, the humans are screwed.
Oh, yeah. No, everybody's heads go on a pole.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, the white woman just killed Cornelia.
Yeah. And of course, Caesar gives him one day.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, it may take... No. No, we're not having this conversation.
And that leads to a brutal confrontation between Koba and Caesar.
Yeah, because Koba now just outright is accusing Caesar of being a human lover.
Yeah, because Koba went and saw the humans practicing with their weapons at the armory.
Yeah.
He saw that they're preparing for war.
Yeah, so there's no... Koba's not a forgiving, forgetting kind of guy.
No, and that fight between the two of them was really hard to watch.
Well, and okay, how about this? How about they pulled off Ape Shall Not Kill Ape? Like, that was the stupidest thing in the world from the very, you know, from the battle movie. That was like that and Claude Akins and all that like buffoonery, which was trying to put together this idea. At least maybe it was trying to put this movie does such a great job of making that seem realistic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's great.
Well, Maurice is the teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't, it's not so, you know, the thing about the early movies is that it was just so regimented with the chimps, the orangutans, and the gorillas. And this is much more subtle. In fact, it keeps coming up in trivia that Koba is a bonobo, a legendarily peaceful ape, where chimps will rip your face off. So they thought it was a little ironic that they pick him to be a bonobo, but oh well.
Well, he looked like a badass.
He reminded me of Stripe from Gremlins.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, again, there's many times during this movie, as it turns out, as we go through it, that I was concerned. Like, I was concerned when the power goes on at the gas station that everybody was going to start dancing and it was going to be another Ewok moment. But no, it works out okay. They pulled it off. They pulled this movie off, which is amazing to me.
Yeah, even the Gary Oldman crying scene.
Yeah.
I did not want it to work, but it did.
No, it totally worked. Absolutely. And
as soon as he started looking at those photos, it makes me want to roll my eyes. But again, this movie pulls it off.
Yeah. Well, and you know, everything's going fine. But then Koba decides to enact his special plan because he's gone away and killed the guy from Oz. And his plan is to come back and shoot Caesar.
Yeah, well, he goes back to the armory.
Yes.
And does his little routine again. And just...
yeah.
In a really chilling turn. Murders the humans. Comes back with some guns. Takes care of Alvarez.
It's that Johnny Walker's fault.
Yeah.
And then goes up and he's going to do the Brutus on the Caesar.
Funny.
And then, and he's got it all worked out. He tells Blue Eyes, see, human guns, killed your dad. Now's the time. Strike while iron's hot.
He sets their home on fire.
Exactly. Yeah. He sets
so they pretty much have to go.
Yeah. And then it's straight up action movie for quite a while.
Yeah, and it's brutal.
Yeah, and it's longer than it deserves to be that good for. Because it even with me rolling my eyes with all the 3D stuff, and they actually do the Donkey Kong thing with the barrel on purpose as a nod to Donkey Kong, still, it all works.
Yeah, and when you see the apes getting just gunned down, you feel bad for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's casualties on all sides. It's not great. And then you have, you know, again, even more when the apes take control of the main tower. It's all very, you know, you have the scene with Koba and Ash.
You get the jailing of the dissidents.
Exactly, yes. Yep, and now it turns into a kind of a different movie. Because it turns out, I thought it was great when... it reminded me a little bit of Minority Report, when Maurice tells the humans, it's time to run now. Mm-hmm. And then when they find Caesar's not dead, and he guides them back to Franco's house, which I thought was pretty cool. And then, I don't know, they did it. They pulled it all together. I'm hoping that this third movie coming up isn't a big dog, because I would be so mad.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Yeah.
So have none of us seen the next movie?
No.
I have not.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Have you?
Nope.
Yeah, another little touch I liked, and it maybe you guys read this scene differently, but when Malcolm ends up back with Dreyfus and finds out that Dreyfus is rigging the tower to blow to kill all the apes, one of the things I liked about that scene is I thought Jason Clarke did a really good job of looking like he was working through the scenarios. Like, even though he believed in Caesar, I saw that he was actually thinking, well, maybe this is what we should do. Maybe we should kill the apes before finally coming to the decision that, no, can't do it.
I guess I didn't read it quite like that. I read it more like he was kind of doing that, the Andy Serkis trying to solve a puzzle kind of thing without talking, just kind of moving around the outskirts of the scene itself and looking at the different options. But yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's got a point. And as we find out later in the very last scene of this movie, it's going to be too complicated to explain. Like, no. Really, there's good guys and bad guys up there. We just have to trust the good guys. And yeah, I mean, Jarvis is like, right. So yeah, so it's like, that's not really an option.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so I thought it was...
Which is something that Caesar recognizes at the end of the movie, well, right?
Exactly, yeah. It just mirrors that whole thing. It's like, okay, yeah. No, I know where this is going, and we're just going to make the most of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty great. The end of the movie is a little bit of Mission Impossible thing going on. And then you have a really dramatic in 3D. I kind of thought of when between Koba and Caesar fighting in the tower, I thought a lot about Quantum of Solace.
Except I could actually tell what was going on in this movie.
That's true, yes. And it worked. I mean, again, I'm just impressed that they pulled it off. Because even explaining this movie is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, when you sort of say everything out loud, it should not work.
But it does. It's great.
Yeah. I love the fight. I love that they brought their personalities into the fight. Like, Koba's all about aggression, and Caesar thinks it out and starts wailing on Koba's wound because he knows that's the weak spot.
Again, they had no right to pull it off the way they did, but I like the different juxtaposition between the sign language and the speaking, because they still never spoke in complete sentences. It was all kind of caveman speak, but it worked. Right. It was great. And so did Koba live? Is Koba in the next movie?
Do you want the spoiler?
I don't think he did.
I think it tells you that he does. Is that what we heard? Him being them removing rubble from him?
Did you watch the credits to the end?
I thought I did. But I know that you heard his breathing, right? Or was it more specific than that?
I know the answer, so I'm not issuing any spoilers unless you wish them.
Is Malcolm in the next movie? No, don't answer that.
I actually don't know that.
The original ending was as the apes go out to Muir Woods, they are being followed by a some sort of like destroyer warship tracking them.
Well, that was the threat.
Yeah.
That was Dreyfus's threat.
Yeah.
You mean like already... something in the water?
Yeah, like the cavalry, the human cavalry was coming. By form of an actual warship with like munitions and stuff. Like,
Well, one, San Francisco is a bay.
Yeah, well, one ping only.
Nice callback.
So, yeah. So, yeah, so, again, I am excited about seeing the next movie in the series.
Yeah, me too, surprisingly. I didn't think that at this point, having watched these series of movies, that I would feel this way.
Yeah,
but,
like the ninth pleasant, would be the most exciting.
Pleasantly surprised.
Do we know anything about, is there going to be a fourth?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess I don't want to know until
I don't know that the next one made a ton of money.
It did not do as well as this one.
Yeah.
It made half as much money as this one did.
Oh, wow.
And they're getting more and more expensive to make.
It's also going up against all these Star Wars movies and Marvel movies and things that are bigger tentpole movies.
Yeah, and even though there's a lot of action in this movie, this isn't that type of popcorn action.
No, again, this is not really a kid's movie.
No.
Yeah, you're not going to find porgs or whatever.
I love the porgs.
I heard there was a casino scene, and I thought, nope, I'm done. I can't. There's no way.
Huh. That was the worst part.
Let me see. Sweevy?
So War is the next one.
Yep. You're looking at pre-production stuff?
It's set up to...
So there, Matt Reeves said that it's likely there will be another one.
Well,
there will be.
Remember, there was going to be a one after Battle. It was called Secret, but that never kind of fell through.
They are keeping the through line enough that if they wanted to do a time jump and have the Icarus astronauts come back to experience the Planet of the Apes, they could do it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that this didn't even mention the Icarus astronauts, did it? Was there word one about it? No.
No, I mean, this is a really small, contained story.
It really is, yeah. There aren't very many characters, you're right. And it's just a very small location.
And a small snapshot in time.
Yeah. So, any other notes before Jason renders his verdict?
I'm just reading through Matt Reeves' interview. It's pretty certain there's going to be another one.
I'm in.
Yeah, hopefully War is good.
By the way, I'm yeah, me too. I'm actually excited to see the Chappaquiddick movie. I'm actually go to the theater.
Me too. I will absolutely go to the theater, and boyfriend Jesse will have to go along, and he will not understand any of it, but that's okay.
True. Sadly, that is true though.
Well, I mean, admittedly...
Well, by all rights, you don't really have any reason to understand
right.
it.
Well,
exactly.
Except that our parents were familiar with the mystique of Kennedy. But there's no reason why his parents would be.
No. I just happen to be a crazy conspiracy theorist nut job that used to read all kinds of strange books, so...
Yeah.
And Chappaquiddick was one of them.
Yeah.
So...
No, it's... Okay,
so I'm really interested to see how they portray it. But so back to this. Sorry,
back to Apes. So, Brother Jay, your verdict.
I'm going to give this movie an A.
Yeah,
that's a solid A.
I was going to say, I don't think you can't not. I mean,
I have a hard time. Like I said, I had some problems with it, but they weren't big enough flaws to me to mark the movie down. And as evidence to me by my own brainwaves that I want to watch it again tells me that it's a good movie. The first one, I don't know. The last movie that we watched, I don't know that I have any desire to watch it again. This movie, I would watch again easily, without a doubt.
So you're saying on a recorded medium that you like this better than Chinatown?
Oh, yes.
Is it
Amen
better?
To
daughter.
That.
Is it better than 2001?
My sister. Is it better than 2001?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a fair comparison.
That means yes.
I think so. Yeah. How can a sequel be better than 2001? I think because it does a great job.
I think the movies are different enough, but I do think this is a great movie.
Do you think this is the sequel that's better than the original though? In this series?
Absolutely. Okay. I do. Yeah. I do.
Brother Drew?
Yeah. I want to say that the first movie was good. I'm not saying it wasn't. It had more issues than this one.
So, Drew, I'm going to guess I know the answer, but was it worth it?
Yeah, I love this movie. I think I have way more affection for the first movie than Jason does, but I still think this movie's better. It is so visually stunning. They do such a great job with all the effects that I think it still would have been enjoyable, even if the story was shit. But it's not. They took such care to craft a really well thought out, well constructed story that's smart. It hits all the right emotional beats. It makes sense. And it makes you really feel for the apes and what they go through, way more than the humans, which is, like you keep saying, Eric, which is what you want out of an apes movie. And this one really does a fantastic job. By far the best of any of the apes movies we've seen. It makes me really excited to get to the next movie. Yeah, and this is the movie I've been waiting to talk about since we started this series, because I love it so much. I love it from the opening shot to the final shot.
This is also, it feels like an epic movie because it's long, but it has such, it varies up the pace so well that like mm-hmm. it gets you nice and into it, you know, it starts off with a bang and then it kind of settles you down into this ape community. And then it's a series of more tension and release and tension and release, and it's really skillfully done.
Well, at one point we paused it and cause we were pretty far into the movie and I thought, how long does this have left? And I paused it. And boyfriend Jesse and I were like, oh God, it's got 40 minutes left. What are they going to do for 40 minutes? And then next thing we knew, the movie ended. So I was like, holy crap.
Oh yeah. So it was great. I mean, to have like a 2.5 hour movie that is this well paced, but again, it feels like an epic. It has like waves. You like travel waves down it. It's not like a constant series of tension, and lets you have time with the characters, which I like.
I swear that I had some boyfriend Jesse quotes here.
Oh, yeah, please. I'm assuming he loved it, too.
He did. He did say that... he said Malcolm is no James Franco.
It's true. is that a compliment?
Yeah. How does he mean that?
Yeah.
Caesar has a showcase showdown. Caesar's son is being a total teenager.
Totally. I also like that, like after Blue Eyes gets mauled by the bear, like Uncle Koba tells him, "Hey, it's all right. Scars make you cool."
Yep. I also like that Blue Eyes is looking at Koba like, "God damn it!"
Oh, one of my problems was that they needed hydro power, but so they couldn't have any wind power or solar power.
Well, the dam was already there.
I understand.
And it takes rare earth minerals that are needed for solar and turbine power.
What do you think? How do you think a dam? How do you think hydroelectric works?
Not using as much rare earth minerals.
You know, a properly maintained nuclear reactor will last a really long time.
Yeah.
So were you offended when they said that their nuclear power ran out?
Yeah, I was. That was the one part of the movie. It was like a record scratch. I was like, wait, what? Ran out.
Well, they had the voiceover during the credits about, you know, we couldn't stop it from melting down. So
that's one thing. I mean, that could be neglect.
Yeah. Well, and I'm glad that the humans also weren't like dressed up like the Toxic Avenger and driving the old school bus.
Nobody was wearing capes.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it all seemed pretty cool.
Yeah, it didn't seem implausible.
No, it all seemed like it perfectly worked. They built a world that I really enjoyed. Now, let's see if Dune can pull that off.
Yeah, and the point you made, Eric, was it was a really good one, that it's only been 10 years. So it's, you know, human society is not yet willing to give up on, you know, living at the behest of technology. They're not running around barefoot in the woods yet.
Yeah.
Hasn't been nearly long enough.
But that's what's at stake. I mean, that's, again, the humans have some pretty high stakes as well. And the apes just want to be left alone. And I love that part of it. I mean, I also like the fact that Caesar is a reluctant badass. That always makes for a good hero.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I think we can all say, I'll mark this as a 3-yes movie.
It's a rare 3 yeses.
Yeah, excellent. Okay. So, do we have housekeeping?
Housekeeping.
It's only been like 2 days.
Exactly. That's how kind of how it feels. Yeah. I don't actually have any housekeeping. I don't think. I watched 2 movies called Veronica in the last couple of months. One just recently because it got good reviews for Amazon streaming for a horror movie. It's from
Elvis
Spain.
Costello.
Nope.
Is that that's the Spanish?
Yes. They're both Spanish language.
Possession movie.
Yeah. It's okay. It's fun. No, no heavy lifting. On my list to see here pretty soon is, I don't even think I've seen the original Old Boy, but there is the modern version of Old Boy, or the reboot, or whatever it's called, the remake.
Spike Lee, right?
I think so. So I think maybe I'll dive into that. Or do you think I should watch the original first?
I haven't seen either.
I put some stuff on my Netflix queue, some like old John Carpenter movies, because I'm feeling like John Carpenter fix coming on, The Fog and The Crazies, and the remakes of those movies aren't really great, so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I really like The Fog just because of the atmosphere, if you pardon the pun.
I was gonna say no pun intended.
Also, I'm appreciating Adrian Barbeau more as an adult than I did as a kid.
There were a couple things I appreciated as a kid.
That's hilarious.
I liked the remake of The Crazies. You know, with Timothy Oliphant?
I just remember the being kind of nonplussed. But maybe I'll go back and watch the remake after I watch the original. The remake of The Fog is straight up crap.
Yeah, the progression of the people turning more and more monstrous, like in a Resident Evil kind of way, was not great, but the tension about the whether or not your allies were infected, I thought was really good in that movie.
I'll let you know.
I watched Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh.
And I had never seen any version of that, nor read the book.
Okay.
I have the 1976 movie. And
I have read the book, and I have seen the movies. Not the most recent one.
I tried to watch the 76 one, and I got about 3 minutes past the credits and pulled the ripcord. I'll go back to it, but...
3 minutes, huh?
Yeah.
How long did you make Dune?
Dune? No, Dune I took like at a half an hour chunks.
That took you 5 weeks?
Oh, let me tell you. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk a lot about Dune. I'm much more excited about talking about Dune now. I'm doing now what I should have done for 2001, that I was kind of reluctantly pulled through that journey.
Kicking, screaming.
I read the book. I was looking at articles.
Talking about how shit it was for 7 more episodes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, still. Reading all sorts of different views of Kubrick and his life story, and trying to figure out how he made that journey to making this gigantic snooze fest movie.
You saddled us with Eyes Wide Shut, so don't even.
I never claimed Eyes Wide Shut was good, though.
That was a great podcast episode.
It was a great podcast episode.
No, and there'll be plenty of fun stuff to talk about Dune. But now that I've listened to a lot more Dune stuff, I have a little bit more of my Dune lore on. So I'll be able to at least speak intelligently about the parts of the movie that sucked.
Excellent. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. You got a concert coming up.
2 days from today. I do indeed. I spent the weekend in Swedish hell.
Hold on. In Swedish hell?
I bought 2 6-drawer dresser kits at IKEA.
Ah, you got the Farfignugan 1 and 2.
Yeah. Well, so long.
Did you eat the meatballs?
No.
Did you eat anything?
No.
Okay.
No. We actually, so this is a long story, but we went to IKEA at 10 in the morning and the parking lot was full. And after driving around for like 15 minutes, I was like, you know what? There's no way. I am not. There's just too many people in here. And it's not happening. So we'll come back because I just don't need dressers this bad right now. So I said, we went and got lunch somewhere else and thought, well, on the way back from lunch, let's check. Maybe the parking situation has improved. Nope, it's actually worse. So we went home and did some stuff in the afternoon. Finally, we went back Saturday night, probably like 7 o'clock, and picked up the 2 dresser kits that I wanted. So basically, this is all started because couple things. Mom is coming for a visit for one, and I'd like to get some things arranged and cleaned up better. But 2, our washing machine, which Derek had replaced after I had bought a new one a couple years ago, he replaced it because he didn't like it, but he replaced it with a used one that he liked. Except its functions have been at best crap. So, it does things like fills the drum with water. And when I say fill, it's not hyperbolic. I mean, it was filling the drum full of water. It's like a front loader
or a top loader?
Yeah.
Ah.
Front loader.
Kind of defeats the purpose of the front loader.
It would reach a water level and then the drain pump would kick on because the water level was too high. And so it was just cycling through water and not washing anything. And then after a certain point of time, anyway. So I finally bit the bullet and just spent way too much money and bought a washer dryer set that's going to be delivered sometime soon. So I need to clean up my basement where all this extra bedding I have hanging out and in like Rubbermaid tubs. So I wanted to organize it and put it in some dressers. So we bought a couple of dressers, put the dressers together. We've been putting everything and organizing that. So that's been taking up a bulk of my free time. But this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we put together these giant dresser kits. So I felt accomplished. But yay. So now we can see my basement floor and I won't feel terrible when the washing machine delivery guys have to bring it down the stairs and install it. So Costco white glove service.
What do you guys know about the Nintendo Switch?
Nothing. Jesse knows plenty, but I know nothing. Because I am old.
I've heard it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting one. That's all. Turns out those things are expensive.
Yeah, I'm going to sit and watch my washing machine work.
But it'd be nice to play Mario Kart with my daughter. And we have the Wii, the original Wii, but it's just not quite the same, I don't think. Well, to me, the advantage of the Switch would be that I could put it on the TV downstairs when we get our game room all put together. It's a dream. And then if I want to play like Skyrim on it, I could just take it up in the room after she's asleep. Because it's got, the dual capability.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, yes, Thursday is They Might Be Giants, so I'm excited.
Send your feedback to show@notinthecreepyway.com or call us on our new voicemail account to leave voice messages. Or you can text us at this account to leave text messages. The number is 425-243-9169. That's 425-243-9169. What are you waiting for? Put it in your phone right now, and then when you listen to an episode, you can just hit your
contacts. Dial it already.